It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Welcome to Forward Nation Radio with me, David Leventhal. Thank you for joining us as always. We hope you are joining us from someplace warm and comfortable because winter has come to the East Coast. Or, as they say on Fox News, incontrovertible proof that global warming is a hoax. Have you seen the new previews? The new previews are out. Mr. Bean Goes to Asia, a new movie. Wait, I'm getting a message from Mr. Bean. Fuck you. Okay, it's worse than Mr. Bean. It's President Donald Trump goes to Asia. The good news is Donald Trump finds empathy. He goes to Asia and he comes home with empathy. The man who cannot find empathy for starving children, for war widows, has found empathy for Vladimir Putin of Russia. Let's all have a moment of silence. President Trump feels Putin's pain. Yes, he feels his pain over the pain of our intelligence agencies trying to clean up the mess of Putin's interference in our election. Because Trump doesn't believe our intelligence agencies. Vladimir Putin told him he had nothing to do with it, so Trump's going to go ahead and believe him. You are a patriot, I guess, if you put the interests and the feelings of a hostile foreign leader over the interests of war widows. As long as you're standing during the national anthem, of course. But okay, let's not pick on Trump after what was, by most accounts, a very successful trip. And when I say very successful, I mean we're not currently in the middle of World War III. Yes, that's what it takes to be successful when you're the president of the United States and your last name is Trump. This is what the commentators are actually stating. He didn't pick a fight. He didn't start a war. He read from his script. So, we dodged a bullet there. The substance of the meetings, well, that may not have gone quite so well, it turns out. This is what happens when you send a child to go negotiate with world leaders and people who are way above his intelligence level. Donald Trump meeting with President Xi Jinping of China. You know he was played on that one. We can see it happening now. President Trump in China meeting with, as he must have described him, President-11, Jinping, unbelievable, President-11. I understand you were doing things to help your people. I don't understand it, but okay, I get it, you were doing that. So I don't hold it against you. I understand you're a young nation. You're only the 11th president of China, I think. Because I learned how to read Roman numerals. Most people don't know that. But I know from watching football, rooting for concussions. Yeah. So, President 11, I'm President 45, President 1 in the hearts of Americans, but President 45 by number. It's a new country, and you know, I understand you're looking out maybe for your people. Okay. I'm willing to work with you because, well, you said I'm the greatest golfer in the world. This is a good leader. He says I'm a great golfer. And he said I was a very handsome man. And his daughters, he's got a lot of very young Asian daughters who paid me a lot of attention. So I gave him California. I mean, he wanted Florida, but I said, no, Florida voted for me. So I have California, they're a bunch of liberals anyway. You can imagine this happening because Trump was in China getting utterly rolled by world leaders. Do you notice how our Secretary of State and others in our administration were cleaning up after him as he went? It's like curling in reverse. Instead of the sweepers going in front of the the curling thing, they go after Trump, just cleaning up his messes. And Trump would come out and say, oh yeah, it was a great meeting. It was wonderful. We really liked each other. He said good things about me. And immediately our people would issue, White House would issue a press release saying, no, behind the scenes, they actually talked about real stuff. The president was driving a hard bargain because he, after all, is a great negotiator. And of course, the foreign leaders then came out and said, no, we didn't. None of that happened behind the scenes. Trying to clean up after little boy or Mr. Bean goes to China and the Philippines and Vietnam and wherever else. But at least he didn't start a war. But we're supposed to trust the President of the United States to promote our interests. Anybody trust this president? First of all, he's an idiot. He's clearly out of his intellectual depth with all these people. He's a narcissist, so they've all learned how to play him by flattering him. You're a great golfer, give us California. So that's fine. We also learned that they've learned how to compromise President Trump. We already know how Putin managed to do that. But it turns out, did you know that China has been arresting journalists who have reported labor violations in Ivanka's factories? You want to get the President of the United States to yield United States interests to you? Just do something nice for his daughter's factories. Let them continue to exploit labor. Okay, so now we come home, and we've got the not quite named Cut, Cut, Cut Act, as Trump wanted to name the tax bill. The Senate has come out, since we last spoke, with its version of the bill. And what we've once again confirmed is the extent of tribalism in America. What we're seeing from the Senate bill, just like we saw with the House bill, was Republicans sitting behind the scenes figuring out, how do we screw people who didn't vote for us? How do we screw states who don't vote for us? Send a message to people, you have to vote for us if you want the American government to work for you. That's right, we've elected an American government that decides to serve a small minority of citizens that actually voted it into power. Among the most troubling areas of where they were screwing the other side and the other side's voters, their war on higher education. Taking money from institutions of higher education, at least the honest ones, and making it more difficult for them to raise money, have money, and spend money. Because after all, if people in this country decide to get a higher education at a quality school, who would vote Republican? So the Senate bill differs to some extent from the House bill, and we see several things that we've talked about at length in this show in the way the bills have played out. First is the impact of gerrymandering, which hopefully we will talk about every show because it's that important. It's interesting to look at ways in which the Senate bill differs from the House bill, in large part because of the different political concerns of members of Congress and United States senators. Members of Congress are mostly in gerrymandered districts where they're probably safe, especially out in rural areas where cows outnumber people and the Republicans can safely expect that they will be elected. Cities, well, those congressmen are going to be representing Democrats anyway, so there's no reason not to screw the cities. The Senate bill is a little bit different. Senate doesn't have gerrymandering. The whole state votes for the Senate. So in states that might be swing states, the cities might actually matter. You can't piss off all of your city residents. And so the Senate bill, for instance, maintains the mortgage interest deduction. Was this a calculation that this is a good idea? If anybody at this point in time thinks that the Republican tax plan is in any way, shape, or form motivated by a good idea, you're still drinking the Kool-Aid. No, they've decided that this is a way to help pay for their tax cuts for billionaires without alienating their voters. And in the Senate's case, they needed to leave in the mortgage interest deduction because by alienating cities and statewide contests, they might actually lose some elections. Both of these bills are premised on what will the people notice? What can we get away with And how can we blame the pain that they are going to feel on somebody else? This is also cementing the political realignment we are seeing in this country. Good luck to Republican congressmen and women in blue states, in the suburbs, as opposed to rural areas. As we saw in the recent elections, the suburbs are now seriously up for grabs. Many areas that were solidly Republican, but where the people may have some education and not want to get screwed in their taxes, their health care, and all that, may actually flip to Democratic congressmen. As Chris Collins, the New York Republican, noted, he is conflicted about the tax bills. Where does that conflict come from? Well, it's going to screw his constituents. And he's worried that they might notice. But the one thing he's got going for him, as he points out, my donors are basically saying, get it done or don't ever call me again. So you're in the position of choosing between people and your donors. Here's the good news, Chris. The donors right now are promising that they will spend so much money lying to your base with false information, false stuff on social media, TV commercials. They will spend money lying to your base. So hopefully, enough of them won't realize how you screwed them on behalf of billionaires. Then you've got the South Jersey Congressman Frank Lobiondo making a statement about the blue states and how the Republican tax bill is screwing the blue states. Why is it that Frank Lobiondo, a Republican, can come out and bash his own bill like that? Simple. Frank Lobiondo is among the dozens of Republicans who have announced that they will be retiring at the end of this congressional term. Republicans that are moderate for what passes as a moderate in the Republican Party and know that they are going to be outflanked on the right by a lunatic and they are going to be primaried out of office. We are now, as of my recent count, 28 Republican congressmen have announced they're not even bothering to run for re-election. So what are the results of the Senate bill? The Tax Policy Center points out that 0.3% of the wealthiest Americans, 0.3%, 3 out of 1,000, would be saving upwards of $278,000 a year by 2027. For the 40% least wealthy Americans, that is 4 out of 10, in case you can't do the math, by 2027, they will on average be saving $25. That's the Tax Policy Center analysis of the House bill. We haven't yet seen the analysis of the Senate bill. Oh, goody, I look forward to that one. The giveaway to the rich people and the choices that are being made at least are being made abundantly clear. The battle lines are being drawn for anyone who has any interest in listening. Republicans pointed out that they will be helping to pay for their tax cuts for billionaires by getting rid of the health mandate to have health insurance. Sounds like freedom to me. Freedom to not have health insurance. So they will be paying for tax cuts for billionaires by not subsidizing insurance for young people who now, once again, will get to play Russian roulette with their lives. That's freedom. Get a serious medical issue? Ha ha ha, you lose the game. You're gonna have to die now. Thanks for playing. But also as indicated, deep cuts to come. The House bill is estimated to cost at least $1.7 trillion over 10 years. And that's even with budget gimmicks. The true cost is probably going to be dramatically greater once they don't phase out as they're promising to phase out. But we already see that huge entitlement cuts are going to have to come. And in fact, as of this morning, the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, has pointed out that beginning almost immediately, $27 billion a year will have to come out of Medicare. That's right, $27 billion a year of health care for elderly Americans is instead going to go to the Koch brothers and the Mercers and the other total shit that's out there in the planet. These are the choices we're making. Also, so much for infrastructure investment. Do you remember when on the campaign trail Donald Trump said he was going to spend $1 trillion in infrastructure? It was pretty much the one damn thing he got right. And as we said, I think from our very first show, good luck with that one actually ever happening. Well, now, good luck with that one happening. There will not be money for that. There will not be money for Medicare. There will not be money for Medicaid. So here's the choice. Is that what you want, Americans? The choice is rather than spending money on infrastructure, on health care for needy people. You want to give more money to billionaires? What is the premise for the idea that that's a good thing to do? Are they better human beings? Are they better than the rest of us? Are they so worthy as human beings that they should just get stuff that the rest of us don't? As indicated in the Paradise Papers, hiding their money abroad, cheating on their taxes in many cases, when they already have millions or billions. Nobody really wants to make the argument that they're better human beings, right? How about more valuable to society? Are rich people so much more valuable? Just by giving them more money, their touch is turning it into gold? Is that what's going to happen? You're drinking the Kool-Aid again if you believe that one. Look at any career and decide. As we talked about last week, you look at the Paradise Papers. Look at the number of people who are involved in sheltering and laundering trillions of dollars of money to keep it out of the hands of international tax collectors and spending on the public. Someone gets out of law school with a tax degree from a top law school. Could go work to help human beings. Could even work for the IRS catching tax cheats. Or could go work for tax cheats. Which one do you think would pay the most money? Lawyers could go work for tax cheats. Or they could go work arguing for homeless people in housing court. Which one of those do you think pays better? Doctors can choose to work to help people and save lives, often by dealing with poor people and providing medical care. Or they could go work for rich people and inject Botox. You really think all those rich people are more valuable? A doctor who's even good at his job and makes a lot of money could take a month each year, as some I know do, to go help poor people around the world. But if you do that, you'll have less money. I don't mean to come here and attack wealthy people. Well, some wealthy people. Many wealthy people have gotten wealthy because they're good at what they do. And yes, because they've chosen careers that tend to be more lucrative than other careers. Many wealthy people have not sold their humanity once they become wealthy. But let's be clear, when I talk about tax cuts for wealthy people, these good and decent wealthy people aren't the ones asking for tax cuts. So by definition, when we talk about taking health care away from old ladies to give it to a billionaire, that billionaire is a scumbag. Okay, speaking of scumbags, Roy Moore. Yes, our still likely future senator from Alabama. You know those pictures of Roy Moore waving his gun at a campaign rally? Yeah, I like the Second Amendment. Turns out what he really was doing was illustrating his pickup lines for underage girls at the mall. I just take out my gun and I say, do you want to go out with me? You shouldn't make fun of this, I guess, but this is sick. Okay? The guy isn't allowed at the mall, or wasn't allowed at the mall. Here's Jim Ziegler, the state auditor of Alabama. There's nothing to see here. Single man, early 30s, never been married, dating teenage girls, never been married, and he liked younger girls. Like, hey, what's the problem there? Okay, at least they were alive. That's got to be something. At least they weren't little boys. That would have been a problem. Little boys would have been a problem, but not little girls. He's still overwhelmingly expected to win in Alabama, I guess because none of them were blood relatives. In fact, 37% of Alabamians now say that they are more likely to vote for him than they were before. This is the tribalism. This is being confirmed in our beliefs and believing whatever we want to believe. Being shut off to further information that might lead us to change our mind. A critical thinker says, new information might compel me to change my mind. But much of this country says, yeah, new information might compel me to change my mind, so I better make sure I don't get any new information. And if I do, I better make sure I don't change my mind. Instead, I'm going to get more angry, I'm going to put my back up, I'm going to get more defensive. Here's something else that Roy Moore said just the other day. They started to create new rights in 1965, and now today we have a problem. They started to create new rights in 1965, and now today we have a problem? What could he possibly be talking about? I don't know. That was the year the Voting Rights Act was passed. Is that a phone I hear? Whoa! Forward Nation Radio with our new technology. We have a phone-in caller, presumably from our live streamers. Thank you. Hello! Welcome to Forward Nation Radio.
Dewey Jewenstein from the Washington Post.
Dewey Jewenstein? I thought it was Bernie Bernstein.
Bernie Bernstein, Dewey Jewenstein, it doesn't matter. As long as you understand the point, I'm a Jew. A Jew, get it? I work for the big media, get it? I'm lying to come up with information about Roy Moore. Why? Because I'm big media liar and I'm a Jew. So I probably molested your Christian children anyway, and I hate Christian people and Christian political leaders, and I drink the blood of your children. Thanks for voting
This is disgusting. I got to cut him off. This is disgusting. Forgive me. Sorry about that. I guess somehow we got on the robocall list for Alabama. Did you hear about this one? They're making robocalls in Alabama, just like the one you heard. Bernie Bernstein from the Washington Post. Bernie Bernstein, get it? A Jew. Washington Post. Intelligent people. Fake media. Why don't you just come right out and say, the Jews are coming to take over Alabama? Oh, that's kind of what you just did, actually. So, my Jewish Trump-supporting fans, feeling a little weird about this yet? Feeling like maybe you might have made a mistake on this one? Never again. Never again. Wait, how big are my tax cuts? Okay, yeah, whatever, maybe again. Maybe we'll try it one more time. I'm getting big tax cuts here. The racists, the anti-Semites, the misogynists are really crawling out of the closet on this one. Oh, isn't that great? At a time, by the way, where the rest of the world is moving on, and most of America is moving on. Also in the news, here's something uplifting. Australia just voted to legalize same-sex marriage. But in America, we're racing in the opposite direction. At least the scumbags who are running the country right now are racing in the opposite direction, while most of us still want to race in the right direction. You better be heard. Racing in the right direction? Compare what's going on in Alabama with Danica Roan, the transgendered woman just elected to the House of Delegates in Virginia, who, when asked about her opponent, who would not even acknowledge that she was a female, said, "He is now one of my constituents. I don't pick fights with my constituents." So Republicans are opposing Roy Moore. Let's be clear on this. Are they standing on principle? Have they suddenly gotten decency? This is reflective of the battle in the Republican Party that's been going on for a long time. Steve Bannon versus Mitch McConnell. The right-wing, white supremacist, populist, racist piece of shit versus the "I represent billionaires and we want more. We're looting the country" wing of the Republican Party. In other words, the establishment wing. The establishment wing has been convincing poor white working class voters across America to vote for them so they can loot the country by relying on God, guns, and gays. And finally, the people on the right have had enough and said, "You've been promising me to bring Jesus to run the country. I expect this country to be run according to Jesus." But that, of course, is not what establishment Republicans are all about. They just want the money. They just want to loot everything. Steve Bannon is a piece of garbage. And yet, there's a populist part of him. He actually thinks taxes should go up on millionaires and billionaires. Imagine that, something I can agree with Steve Bannon. This is all reflective of the divide in the Republican Party. It's also reflective of the fact that pieces of shit child molesters like Roy Moore can be elected, perhaps, in Alabama. But if he gets elected in Alabama, good luck getting Republicans elected in a lot of swing states where people aren't that stupid. And our producer wants to weigh in here.
But didn't Steve Bannon support Moore?
He does. Moore is the populist. Yeah, Moore. That's why Mitch McConnell is perfectly happy to turn on Moore. He never supported him in the first place. He wanted Luther Strange. He wanted the establishment candidate, not the guy who was absolutely insane and might cost them some seats. He doesn't give a shit about the populist rhetoric that Trump and Bannon and whatever have been saying. He doesn't give a shit about the populist rhetoric that the Republican Party mainstream has been saying for years and years. They just want to convince these morons to vote for them so they can loot the country. So this is now the battle lines really being drawn. Now maybe some good could come out of this. Reminded of 14-year-old being preyed upon. And that makes me think of child marriage, which has been an issue in some more thoughtful parts of this country. In New York, children as young as 14 can get married, although we're working on changing that right now. Most states allow 16 and above. More than two dozen states have no minimum age. The reason for that is mostly because of victims of child predation. The punishment for raping your niece at 12 is to marry her. That gets you out of criminal charges and makes everybody think that everything's fine. We need to be eliminating child marriage in America. In Alabama, their numbers aren't that bad. 4.9 out of 1,000 children less than 18 are married, just above the national average. Their minimum age is 16. As I indicated, better than most. So, kudos to Alabama. And Roy Moore did all this, let's not forget, while he was the DA, while his job was to enforce the law, such as laws against child molestation. It's kind of like, I don't know, if the U.S. Department of Justice were to be used as an arm of the President of the United States with no interest in actually promoting justice and investigating crimes. You know, kind of what we're seeing in America. Donald Trump says, "I need to change the subject from collusion with Russia, conspiracy to undermine the United States. I need to change the discussion. So I want the Justice Department to name a special counsel to investigate Hillary Clinton." On what basis? We made it up. If we said it and made it up, they should have to investigate it. Like we can investigate, I don't know, the person who stole all my candy. Even though nobody stole my candy. Somebody investigate that. Get the Justice Department on that right away. This isn't the first time. By the way, this, to give you an idea how bad this is, this alone should be enough to impeach the President of the United States. To call for US law enforcement agencies to be an arm of the President of the United States, this is banana republic stuff. This is third world dictatorships. I don't think there's anything, except maybe for stealing a presidential election, that poses a greater threat to the very integrity of the United States of America. And it reminds me of when the Bush administration did something similar. It's not just Trump, it's the Republican Party. They're all traitors, basically. George Bush, the Bush administration put pressure on United States attorneys, prosecutors for the United States government, to bring actions against Democrats and drop them against Republicans. This was the testimony of many US attorneys, many of whom were appointed by Republicans. This is impeachment stuff. I understand we're not accusing him of having sex in the White House. But maybe turning US Justice Department and law enforcement into an arm of Donald Trump and the Republican Party, he's making a travesty of this country's justice system. Like in his appointment of judges. Maybe you've heard about Brett Talley, who was recently, his nomination recently passed through the Senate committee on a strictly party line vote. A 36-year-old federal judge nominee who has almost no experience whatsoever in a courtroom. But he was a Trump supporter, so let's make him a judge. I guess the good news is Mike Pence wanted to nominate a fetus to be a federal judge. So this is an improvement. Maybe my 6-year-old child, who's a good reader for his age, should be made a federal judge. Why not? Because we don't take the American justice system seriously. And finally, we'll finish quickly in Russia. You don't want to leave out Russia. First, we have the Carter Page testimony. Hours in front of Congress, and the result apparently being, what the hell is wrong with that guy? He admits to lies, he admits to contacts with Russia, he indicates lies among people in the Trump administration. Carter Page has made it perfectly clear that he is basically setting up an insanity defense for his ties to Russia. He illuminated more lies by Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who went in front of Congress and said, I don't remember. Did we have a meeting where we talked about actually cutting and eating my mother?
I don't remember.
No, I don't recall. I don't recall that. This is the nation's number one law enforcement officer? This is the one in charge of investigating Hillary Clinton? A serial perjurer. And then we have Don Jr. He's setting up his own defense in the Russia investigation. His defense? I'm so fucking stupid, you can't blame me for anything. I can't be responsible for anything I do because I am that stupid. I'm not sure even what to make of these WikiLeaks emails going back and forth with Donald Trump Jr. Other than he's an idiot, he clearly wanted to collude if he could. I'm not sure where we went from there. But he's really an idiot. You know what he needs? A tax cut. Finally, WikiLeaks shows its true colors, saying in those leaked documents, we'll help you out any way we can. Pick a tax return. Give us a tax return for us to publish. It'll make you look better. In other words, pick a completely unrepresentative tax return and we will publish it. This is an organization I used to have respect for because supposedly they were about transparency and the release of information. Turns out that's not quite what they're about. Okay, more on the media's roles we talk in the future. But that's it for today's show. We hope you enjoyed the show. Like Looking Forward, go to forwardnationradio.com. That's forwardnationradio.com and get the full experience. You'll see the video from this in every episode there and on our YouTube channel as well. Don't miss the next Forward Nation Radio podcast on Podbean at podbean.com. If you love what you heard, like what you heard, tolerate what you heard, please like us on Facebook, subscribe to our YouTube channel, tell your friends, spread the word, Forward Nation Radio. See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal. We'll be right back.